at AmericansForTheArts.org.
WMNF 88.5 Tampa. You're about to listen to the Urban Cafe.
First of all, what you are doing is monumental.
What you do is so important here.
I think of you all as giving us a perspective on popular culture.
I appreciate the discussion, and it's a really kind of complicated one.
My comment is towards...
I want to go back to a caller called about he had a bed bug problem.
You know, you're the next generation of MNF.
And everybody can do that.
And your real voices and what you really think and what you're really concerned about.
Yes, my name is Brian. I'm calling from Winter Haven.
Yes, I was wondering if we could talk about...
You're bringing it out, and then you let your listeners call in and text in.
But you're also giving us perspective on how it impacts real people's lives.
And I just like to say that each of your topics is so fascinating.
People don't think it's a big deal, but I think that's a really big thing.
And that's what's so important.
And that's the qualitative difference in what you're doing.
The Urban Cafe welcomes your opinion. Join the conversation. Call now, 813-239-9663.
You ready to talk the talk? We're ready to talk the talk. We're going to do it. You're listening to WMNF. And what on WMNF I hear? Yes, it's the Urban Cafe. Welcome to us on a Sunday fun day is Tina Marie Hollywood, who actually is in the house.
She always is.
Good morning.
I love being somebody's Sunday instead of somebody's Saturday night.
A chocolate Sunday. I like that.
I love that.
Good. Lo, how you doing?
I'm great.
All right. All right. Jamal, you ready to get on the mic?
Oh, yeah. Tina doesn't want to share, but she's going to have to share. But it's almost her birthday, so.
Yes, it's her birthday.
So she's got to be nice to the people who, let's check his headphones. She's got to be nice to the people who she wants them to get her presents from.
Oh, that's why you have a full month of birthday. No.
I've been getting some gifts.
DT, our lovely producer.
Yes, I am in the building.
And on the mic
and on the boards for the first half of the show.
Joe.
Lovely producer. Mm. Use another adjective.
There we go. He's running. He's running our Facebook Live. So, welcome again to the Urban Cafe. We are the best little show in the worst little time slot. Actually, we got 2 hours. That's not too bad, is it?
Yeah, we're not little anymore.
We're not little anymore.
We're still the best talk show in the worst time slot.
That doesn't change. Viewers and listeners, please feel free to chime in today. We're really excited about the show we got for you. Also, those on Facebook. Lo's holding it down for us today, I think. And come with your comments, your interesting perspectives. We'd love to share them on the air. And don't forget, after we're off the air, the conversation continues. So keep sending those to us. We've also got a full house of guests. We'll be introducing those in a minute. And I wanted to give a quick shout-out to Natasha McKellar.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, hold on.
The food was the bomb diggity.
Yeah, we need a clap for that.
Yeah, we need a hand praise. There we go.
She's not the first one, but maybe the first one this year to actually... Bring
come
the
through,
food. Yeah,
come through. And
bring
oh,
food,
yeah, we've had many that
crew.
Said, yeah.
So, as I've noticed, as soon as somebody in the studio, one of our guests, comes and says, "Oh yeah, I like to cook, or I've cooked, and I do cooking."
Matter of fact, before we let our cat out the bag, any of these gentlemen, you guys cook? All right, we got a victim.
We got a victim.
One hand to be raised.
Well, I guess Natasha said, "Yeah, well, I do cook. I think she's Jamaican. Is that right?"
Oh, no, so Tina brought Natasha in, and Natasha was she cooked for us, and she gave us a whole full plate. Every one of
full
us had
plate.
A full
yes.
plate of
yes.
Caribbean
goat
food.
Oh my curry, gosh.
Yeah,
with red beans and rice.
I tore it up.
Oh my gosh,
I slept real good.
Oh man,
after the show,
pretty much.
I have. Well, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you, Natasha. Thank you.
She did a great job.
Thank you. The food was delicious, Natasha.
So today, listen, we've got some hot topics, and some of them are very, very, our first topic actually is it's hot. Hot comb hot. No, one of these is I think, not only important, but it's also very important to Tampa, and that is the question, are we safe in church? Are we safe in church from a foreign or a domestic terror attack? Very important. And if we're not safe, well, what are we going to do about it? So we have four pastors, I believe, reverends?
Three.
Three pastors. And a deacon. All righty.
And we got a choir over here, the Mickey Mouse.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I'm the usher boy.
My bad.
You're the usher boy.
DT, I thought you would say we had a center collection over here.
I could be that, too.
Okay.
This is going to be a fun show.
And in the second half, we're gonna try to lighten things up a little bit and leave this not out of our conversation, but just to digest. We are going to get into what is designology. Mm-hmm. And I guess everyone just like me is thinking, yeah.
Has exactly. Something to do with design?
No, but look at the pastors. You should see their look on their faces. They're like, you know, they went somewhere else with it.
Intelligent designology, maybe.
This computer over here.
Yeah, so you can Google over there.
So anyway, so what is designology? And moreover, how is healthy living, interior surroundings, and giving back associated with designology?
Oh, inquiring minds want to know.
Right? This is the time to play a little cricket sound, isn't it?
Learn your buttons.
But, listen, if you guys want to join in this conversation, and we really absolutely encourage you to do that, we want you to not only call or text, but you can also, as I said earlier, get on Facebook.
Yes. Because
Lo is going to hold that down.
Because you can see all the goodness.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Visual is great.
As a teen, if some of our listeners would like to call in, what number would they dial?
With gifts, 813-77, not that one. Okay. 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. Yeah, because I forgot my glasses today. And the text message, yes, bring it closer, Jamal. 813-433-0885. Thank you so much. You're a great assistant.
Wow, that thing was pressed up against
that
you.
That was really close. She should have used her braille and just went with it.
Well, listen, we are up against a break. But again, we want you to keep listening. We'll be right back. But before we do, I want to let you know we are talking about safety in church up first. So you're listening to WMNF, The Urban Cafe.
A big thank you to everyone who volunteered and pledged during our membership drive. The WMNF family really appreciates that, and we all came together. Everyone really came through, and we were able to do so many great things and meet our overall goal, and we couldn't do it without you. So thank you so much for that.
WMNF 88.5 Tampa. You're about to listen to The Urban Cafe.
With that $1,000 pledge, you can have the entire Urban Cafe crew at your disposal.
Right. We'll do a live recording. We'll come out. We'll bring the DJ.
Yes.
We'll bring the food. Well, some of the food. We're not bringing all the food, but we might bring some food. And we're definitely going to bring all of the entertainment.
Take all of us out of the studio and into their world.
Call and donate $1,000 for us to come out and party with you.
Yes, we want to help throw your party. We want to make your party a success. We want to have fun. Plus, party. Tina will walk the runway.
I will tear the runway.
Welcome back. You're listening to WMNF, The Urban Cafe. Welcome back. Jamal, what you got?
I stopped Tina from doing that, but I took one for the team.
He put his fingers all on my lips.
Ouch.
Gross.
Gotta do without contact.
I didn't need those pictures.
Now, Pastor, see, I just want to give you a little background. See, we do this welcome back, and it sounds so beautiful. Horrible. Every time we do it, we come back to the show. However, Miss Tina Marie Hollywood
hates it.
Yeah, the ladies don't let us have our moment.
Because it's not.
I'm gonna find a way.
It's not that bad until you guys interrupt.
And that's so we're so we sing off key. That's all right.
All right, let's try it again without. Can we do it once without you?
Do you want to do anything without me? I mean, really? Hello.
All right, these guys might be looking for some mill background.
They're not gonna get it here.
Right, a couple good baritones.
Check it out. Here we go.
Welcome back.
check out, Tina.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm here till 11. All
right. Well, welcome back, everybody, again. Tina, can you give us the number if people want to call and talk to you? Talk to anyone here on the...
Okay, 813-239-9663.
Excellent.
I noticed my sister is watching us from Buffalo, New York on Facebook Live.
Buffalo!
And she's a church-going person who, obviously, me and her always kind of rib on each other's churches. You know, I went to a church that was predominantly about a lot of younger people.
Why she was there?
Court sanction.
Keep it going.
All right. And she went to a church where it was a much older crowd, and so
that's
we used to laugh and tease each other, and we had a good time. So, Sonya, if you're there, I hope you get your comments on today, because you're going to enjoy this conversation. This whole topic, our first topic, could really apply to every church in Buffalo as well. All right.
Church safety. Actually, I'm going to toss back to you. If you give us maybe a little...
Right,
set up one. No, well, maybe introduce some of the... We've got four guests here in the studio.
We got three pastors and a deacon, all right? And Pastor James Gallen, correct? Pastor Ben Curry.
Yes.
Okay. Pastor Greg Brown. I mean, Deacon Greg Brown?
Craig
Brown. And Colonel Brown. Deacon, pastor, priest...
What?
Politician, father,
all the above.
Here's the amazing thing about the gathering of these gentlemen is that most of you, if not all of you, are ex law enforcement, ex military.
Yes,
that's correct.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
That's why
I feel so safe in here this morning.
Yeah,
that's good.
All four of you.
All right. So joining us this morning, these three distinguished gentlemen stopped by here to discuss a very important concept regarding safety. Among the many things, the most interesting thing is that they're ex military, they're ex law enforcement, and they're men of the cloth. All three men here today are going to talk about safety and who is safe in church and when is it safe in church. And so I want to thank you gentlemen for being here today.
Thank you.
I got to ask the most basic question is, you know, why? Why are you here? Why would three different pastors from maybe three different denominations come together? What for? What purpose? What issue is so important that you guys said, you know what, let's come together and make something happen?
Because the Word of God tells us that we should be secure in all our doing, not just because once you're secure, you're free. The word security says a state of being free from threat or danger. And when you go and worship, the devil's job is to take away your focus, to get you to worry, to get you to doubt. And the Word of God tells us that not only are we to have insurance, we're to be assured of His promise, His power, and His presence.
All right.
And one of the things that I've taken from this, just looking at what is happening in our world and our society, is that when you talk about security in the church, the question is, you know, why do we need it? Because of the fact that what our world has presented to us. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about security in terms of arming ourselves, the Bible gives so many other proof and evidence that God's people had to protect themselves. In Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 9, it talks about the enemy came to make them afraid of what they were doing. And at the time, they were restoring the walls of their community. And with that being said, they had to carry a tool and a weapon at the same time while they were working and restoring their community. So it is vital that we not only restore our community, but also protect our community.
All right.
Especially the church.
Let me get to Deacon. Deacon's going to speak, or do I go over to Colonel Brown on this topic? Colonel Brown, you can jump in.
Well, one of the reasons, as the distinguished guest said before, is that we need to make a presence. People need to understand.
Go ahead, move that a little bit closer to you.
People need to understand that there are different aspects of security within the ministry. Mm-hmm. And we came together to show that although we're from different denominations, that the only thing that's important to us is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we're here as an example to show that we can come together as men of God to find a solution and to help protect the people of the community.
Are we just talking about protection from shooters, or are there other crimes that happen in the church that security could be a part of and help?
Well, you know, if I can jump in here real quick, what I wanted to kind of maybe before we start delving into what's going on, maybe you guys could address what was security like before we had Charleston, before we had, and I've forgotten the name of the place in Texas. What was it like before? Because this is obviously something that's come in the media now, and everyone's getting a little shook up about it. But what was it like before then?
Security never changes.
Right.
We just become lax, lackadaisical to certain behaviors. Mm-hmm. We become used to being the norm. Let's go in. Let's have devotion. Let's pray. Let's hear the word of God. Let's hear some great songs. And let's go out and enjoy what we receive. The word of God tells us we come to be prepared to go. We don't keep it in the house. It's for our community. We must learn that security, not just in the building itself, but in our communities, in our state, in our world. We have to be secure and know that the God that we serve are most high, mm-hmm, is watching over us, and he teaches us and prepares us for every activity, every moment.
Well, Jamal, I'll come to you in just a second. If I give just a little bit of pushback, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but it doesn't seem like God was protecting, some would say at least, right, was protecting those folks in Charleston. I see you guys chomping at the bit. Yeah. But they weren't necessarily protected then, right? In a place that should be holy, it should be sacred, they should feel safe in. Did anybody want to address that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you look at the security, and you said earlier, what was the church doing prior to? We had security. The security was there, but the security wasn't armed as we see it today. The world has presented us a different new case, and we have to go back and revisit the mind state of our churches where we're serving at in regards to security, whether it's domestic, foreigns, whatever presents itself, we have to now go back and revisit it. But we were safe in our worship centers in terms of how we felt when we came to the church. We felt it to be a safe haven, a safe place. And that's what the minds of those who were the goers who come to our churches feel, that this is a safe place. But now that our world has dealt us a different aspect of what we look at in terms of, are we truly safe? And what do we do to prevent other things?
Right. Jamal?
Yes. I've been to quite a few deacon and trustee meetings in my time in various states and churches I've attended. One of my questions is, I know we would talk about internally security issues, kind of like with the executive branch of the church. One thing I was wondering is, after what happened in South Carolina and Texas, do you pastors end up sometimes having these conversations or church meetings regarding security to inform the congregation? And if you'd have one of those meetings, what would, I guess, you say the main focus you guys would talk about, you think?
Well, the main focus, first to add on to what the previous question was, is that Part of the problem is that society in the world, we as a country, our morals have lessened. They took prayer out of school. The things that were created the sound foundation where we were coming up are no longer being taught for some political reason. So when you have all these things and the things of morals and you're taking God out of everything, so then the places that were our safe haven, were our sanctuary, are no longer respected. I mean, we grew up, you know, we would never break into a church or steal equipment from a church. We would never rob people coming from church. And these are some of the reasons that the world is changing as we speak now. And this is why we bring this matter to the forefront. But the answer, could you repeat your question again?
Yes, because I know that churches have internal meetings among, like, their executive boards, but I was wondering if there's any meetings you guys would have, or it wouldn't necessarily be a sermon, but, you know, like a church meeting or kind of like a public service announcement to the church regarding what they should do if there's an attack or how to protect themselves.
Well, I'm going to say this, and this is what I'm saying. The reason that these gentlemen here are because these gentlemen sitting before you have already taken those necessary steps. They're preparing for security. They're preparing for training. They're talking to their people. They're teaching them things. They have experts that come in and teach them security and so forth. And then the reason I want to say this, because remember, I'm saying this. You have some spiritual leaders or pastors or people in the pulpit that you know, that are not doing these things. And my message to you, to them, is that, and again, there are a lot of great, there are a lot of awesome pastors out there. But if you're a pastor and you have security and bodyguards for you and you don't have it for your congregation, then shame on you. Because without that congregation, you cannot be a pastor. You are no greater than the congregation itself. You just have a different position that God gave you.
That's interesting.
If we can, because you put forth a great question, and that
doesn't happen very often. So.
You said that, where was God? Mm-hmm. God is omnipotent. He knows everything.
Yes.
He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. We tend to point fingers out and never point at the source or the reason. Yes, God was there. And God is a God that we can't understand his reasoning. It's not for us to blame God. It's for us to know that there's something going on around us that we can't see. When we relax and become that person that I'm gonna be all right, God's gonna protect me from everything, and I can't get in trouble. No, God is a God who prepares you. But he asks that you react or act also. We have a responsibility. I don't blame anybody in there. Yeah. But the devil is busy. If you believe in God, you believe in the devil. And the devil's busy. His job is to bring about confusion. His job is to bring about trouble. His job is to separate. We're not going to give him credit because God is still in charge. And how they say, this too shall pass, but we should learn from every action.
If I'm hearing you correctly, the church is not just a building,
right?
And it sounds like you're saying, at least this is what it sounds like to me, there's a disconnect now between church and the community. So if, and community being the local community, state, county, city, whatever it is, and the things that are allowing this kind of violence to happen are part of the community which the church is a part of. And there's a disconnect there.
Yeah, separation comes, but I say this, when we understand that we are the temple, we are the church.
Right.
So I can't blame your church for my problems. I have to also take my responsibility on why, how. Because that church allowed that young man to come in and show him love.
We'll get on this in just a second. I'm going to go to Lo real quick.
And I have a question, too, after Lo.
And then when Lo is finished?
Why don't you go to, if you don't mind.
Oh, this is lovely. Everyone's playing so nice in the sandbox. But I also wanted to say, we keep saying church, but I think after this, we might want to just broach the subject about a mosque. Or a different denomination.
Well, and that's where I'm going on Facebook Live. So.
Oh, all right. So go to Tina real quick. First.
Ain't nobody going to no mosque, I don't think.
The question on the statement on Facebook is going.
Hold on. You got to clarify that. What you mean? Ain't nobody going to a mosque? What do you mean by that?
What I mean is like these domestic terrorists. I don't think a mosque, Nation of Islam, because they known to have them things ready for you if you try to come in there. That's all.
So you have all kinds of imams. That's a nice little teaser, though, for you.
Well, I'm glad you guys touched on the community. And one of the things that I'm thinking may be occurring, and you guys can answer this as far as on a spiritual realm, but there has been a sense of disrespect on the level of churches, schools, and even hospitals now. So there's no respect level there. So on a spiritual realm, there may be something occurring, but what could we do as individuals, as pastors and deacons, to represent, okay, this is a safe place again. You may come. When you come in, respect this place again. What could we do, and pastors and deacons and ministers, what could we do different to make it okay again and safe again?
I think we have to raise a standard of level of security now, because people are watching, they're observing, they're listening, and I think once we've put in place the proper channel of safety procedures, I think if we raise the standards, people will see that we are sincere about keeping our community safe and our parishioners that come in. So we do have to raise the standard from where we've been in the past.
Yeah, because churches are so different from when I was growing up. I mean, you just stop it. But they were just so,
now, you know?
They were just so different. And one of the reasons why I don't go is because, one, it's more of a business sense to me, and I just wasn't raised that way, you know, so it's different.
But, you know, an interesting thought, and then I'm going to throw to you, Lo, so get ready. None of this has happened in a Catholic church has?
Yeah.
Oh, so, it has. It's just not publicized.
Oh, I haven't heard it in the States.
Yeah, it's happening.
Well, all right. So I've been out of my newsfeed, but my point is, it's generally happening to Protestant churches. That's what I'm saying. Right. Okay. Dead silence. Yeah. Well, how about what's Facebook got to tell us?
All right. So, and I wanted to go to Tina first, and because Facebook Live, they have a couple of good comments that I want the gentleman to speak on today. So the first one is by Bruce Plesser. Bruce.
Oh, love Bruce.
So he states, churches have always been targets, black churches since Reconstruction. Different attackers kill for different reasons. God's house. And then he has a question. He says, the safest place. So that's a comment from Bruce. Now, going back to what, you know, basically Jamal was alluding to, Sam started to speak about, is J.D. Miller's online. Good morning, J.D.
J.D.
Good morning. And what he says is, he was like, this is why the Nation of Islam has security and search upon entry. Mm. So, you know, there are certain denominations that already have these securities in place.
That's
and maybe,
true.
You know, the guests can speak on that.
But if I can just interject real quick, mine was the other way around. I wasn't talking about Nation of Islam people coming in. I was talking about Islam going in, if you see what I'm saying.
Gotcha. Yeah.
ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, whatever they're calling themselves, you know?
When we began to label people and credit them for doing certain damages, is it true or is it what they want you to believe?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, if you don't label it, how do you make someone aware of who and what it is?
It was said that we backed other countries, our country. It was said. But see, what we're here to, the thing that is we're fighting against is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear in our neighborhoods, fear in our church, fear in our homes,
schools,
fear everywhere. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when we knew that in our home God dwelled. Mm-hmm. We knew that in our churches God dwelled. We knew that God was in charge of everything. But when legislation comes out and say you can't pray this way, you can't believe this, you can't do this, now there's a separation. When separation comes, there's a fear. Because I don't have that authority. I don't have that strength. I don't have the power that I used to have. But I stand here and say, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. When we know, when we have faith to know that God not only dwells in the church, he dwells in us. The Holy Spirit is the one who leads and guides us. Everybody's not believers.
You said that there was legislation that caused you not to be able to. No, but what do you exactly mean by that? Because
there's certain things that you can be sued for in your church if you disallow or if you allow.
Oh, you're talking about the tax exemption.
Well, that and other things.
Right. So you can't talk politically, essentially. Right. That's what we're talking about.
Just like they took prayer out of schools.
Right.
You know. I just don't believe in this country. Which is founded on the values of God and Christianity, that there are more atheists to cast a vote to eliminate prayer in school. I don't believe that. Again, that's what he said to legislature.
Well, just to give a little pushback, the United States really wasn't founded. It was founded by deists, a lot of deists, and stuff. But that's the whole reason we had the separation of church and state. There wasn't a state religion, so you're free to do whatever. And
but the founding fathers, according to the history books,
they were deacons and pastors and Baptist ministers.
Well, they may have been, but clearly put down in the Constitution that we didn't want that. We didn't want a state regulated religion.
We understand that. Okay. But I'm saying when you say that the country wasn't founded on the principle of Christianity, that's what you're leading people to believe. That's not the case.
Right. Well,
because the people who wrote the Constitution were men of God and who believed in God.
I say Jefferson wasn't. I'm saying that they grew up in Europe, which was absolutely definite, or grew up with European ideals.
And
was
part of the,
hold on one second. Yeah. Well, I just want to get this out. Not that I'm trying to cause an argument here, but the Enlightenment was the whole idea that you were free to believe what you want. They believed in a higher power, but they didn't attribute it to God or religion or anything like that.
So why on the money it doesn't say in a higher power we trust? It says in God we trust.
Well, that came in like 1920.
But it came.
No.
Well, I understand it, but it wasn't founded on that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we found it today. Go ahead, DT. Right, you got a question.
I want to get back to security. I know it's going to be very easy to slide down a different route with these conversations. This could be a whole different show.
Yeah,
it should be.
Thanks for roping
me in.
All right. Yeah.
But I do. My questions are, when you talk about crime in churches, what type of crimes are happening in or at churches?
Well, first of all, we need to understand is that all terrorists are not foreign. We have domestic terrorists here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And every church that's being attacked is not from the entity. Some of the churches being attacked because you have some people churches that are not in order. If I've had contracts, when I've done interviews with people before doing security contracts, I asked them, what's the scenario? Why you need protection? Why you need security? One of them said, well, the pastor was sleeping with somebody in the congregation and the husband's coming back to
blow
beat
it
him up.
Up.
So I don't do the contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I do try to tell the people, hey, you know, if you got that kind of foolishness going to your church, then you're always going to have problems. And there doesn't have to be a foreign terrorist to come in there. Mm-hmm. The churches need to, like the pastor said, the church need to stand back up. The church need restoration. The churches are under attack right now. And as I said before, we have come together to let people know and the community know there are good men of God out there. There are people that care and that we can unite.
Are churches considered soft targets in the scheme of how they look at targets?
Yes, they are. Churches are considered soft targets.
And for those who might never heard that word before, soft target would be kind of a place where a group of people are very vulnerable to an attack, right?
That's correct.
And a hard target would be kind of like a government
federal building.
Okay, so soft target, easier for someone to go in and do damage. Right?
So if anybody's just tuning in right now, you're listening to WMF, the Urban Cafe, and we're talking about, are we safe in church? And everything that goes on, domestic, foreign, and hopefully we'll be able to get into exactly what we can do to protect ourselves.
So
right?
Better
Sam,
people.
Yeah, if I may, because I need you to look at me every now and again. I know I'm kind of low to the floor right now on the seat.
That's why
we love you.
Low.
We love you.
That's why we call you low.
but I have maybe a statement and a question in regards to soft targets, easy targets. To the gentleman in the room, the guest, do you believe there are any bylaws, that some churches may have that prohibit, you know, their congregation from coming into the church, just like some employers have, policy about not bringing it on campus and, you know, the property and so forth, you know, because my thing is, you know, we are evolving, you know, the times are getting worse. And, you know, my spirituality, my religion, I don't recall reading and understanding that I have to be an easy target, in the place that I worship going to and from. So do you think there are any bylaws that may prohibit, you know, someone protecting themselves? I know you guys are here because, you know, and Colonel Brown, you know, that's my connect there, you know, but as far as I want to be able to protect myself as well as have you on the inside and outside protecting me as I come and go.
Ms. Brown, you want to handle that?
Yes. Well, when it comes to the church being under attack, it's nothing new under the sun. The church been under attack ever since there has been a church.
We're talking about all churches, correct?
Yeah. So before the church was ever a building, they were already under attack. This is nothing new. And we, in this day and time, we just see it in a new light, where as armed gunmen walking into a church, churches, and we've been blessed to live in America, to see this few attacks that we have, called Christians and other religions around the world have been under attack much greater than what we see here in America. But yes, we need to raise our standards to the level of which we're being persecuted to protect ourselves. Now, no one can sit here and speak for every church that, yes, we will allow our congregation to come in armed or we won't. That's a church. Each church owns its own keys. They do as they see fit and hopefully according to the word of God and being led by the Spirit. But it only makes sense in this day and time that your security meets the level of the threat.
Well, you've touched on something. I wonder if we could go one by one and ask you, what do you think that your church should be doing? Mr. Brent, we'll start with you.
We're putting procedures in place that we haven't put in place prior to. And it's just because of the time that we live in. Church used to be a place where the doors was open. No. Any time, any door. And as the world changed, that changed. So we man our doors a little differently than we've done in the past. We're much more security conscious in the past. You just don't, as people walk by in front of the church, you see them a little different light now. Mm-hmm. But the God in you don't change. You still love that person. You're not judging him, but...
Love the person, hate the deed?
Hate the deed.
I like that.
But keep a security sense about you.
Mm-hmm. Awareness, yeah.
If you see that bulge on his side, be aware. Mm-hmm. So you can love God, love man, and still be security conscious. We don't have to put ourselves at risk in order to show love.
Right.
And you guys can answer that one by one, but I think this is so sad that we actually have to go to this level with churches. You know, and I know we have to do what we have to do because, it is what it is right now, but it's like, when are we going to not allow situations to change who we are as people? So it's like, when are we going to stand, much like you guys stated, when are we going to stand and not bow down to what it is that makes the other people comfortable, but just stand and be like, no, it ain't happening here.
I think this you're is doing how that now, but I just don't think that's going to make them quit.
Well, it's not about quitting, but it's like making a stand, because if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. But
But you say it as though that people aren't standing. No one's standing.
Some aren't. Yeah. Some aren't.
In what way?
As far as like, well, there are churches, and I won't call names, but they pretty much don't care to and a biscuit about their congregation, you know? So it's like, you come, you don't, no biggie. Mm. Just send me your tithes and offering.
Gotcha.
I mean, that's real talk, you know? So it's like, you know, there are some out there like that, and there are some that do exactly what these gentlemen are doing, you know, here. But again, this is something that we know we have to do, but do you think that we should actually be adjusting our life and how we was raised in the church and how we know church to be to kind of...
Well, life has presented us this case, but in the spiritual realm, it is the church's, is our heart that we look at the parishioners' mental, spiritual, and physical state. And now we've presented where we have to look at the physical realm. Mm-hmm. Are we protecting our people? And I feel that we have to pretty much now in this day and age,
right,
put in proper place armed security.
Wow, see, it sounds so crazy.
But the thing is, Tina, and as far as, you know, what he just stated is, we're in church and we worship for however many hours, you know. Some preachers try to get done before 4:15 football game.
Some before 3 o'clock.
The pastor in here raising his hand.
What time's the game on?
We still here.
I like
dinner.
That honesty.
I'm hungry now.
But I mean, we have to carry that same attitude, that same awareness when we're outside of the church before Sunday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is, to me, I think it's only natural to care that when we do go into worship.
And can I piggyback
the ties that we're in
on that is that we think that when our kids go into schools, we think that we trust that they're safe.
That they're safe. Right?
Right. But now we're looking at a time where we're going to have to make sure they're safe.
And that's in California. Right. What happened in California the other week?
Yeah.
Jamal, we'll come to you in just 1 second. Before we go on, I want to get everybody's response. So I want to make sure I get that in there. So, Mr. Curry, what are you doing at your, or what are they doing? Not necessarily you, but what are y'all doing for a security, the beefed up security?
We've taken the high road now to look at what we have to do. And we are doing what's necessary to protect. Yeah, that's needed to protect.
And what is that? On a need to know basis.
Just for a minute, I know you're looking for a certain answer, But because of security procedures, they're not going to give you the complete answers.
Can't be done. Can you declassify anything?
No, he's a journalist trying to dig for the dirt, right? This is the journalist.
He's a digger.
Yeah. How did you do it?
Yeah, right. I'm going to give you an answer.
Mr. Gallen?
I'm a pastor that worked at the Hills.
See, he's going to dish it.
For 29 years. So people respect God. But there are some people who respect guns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I carry my gun. People ask me, how can a pastor carry a gun? I carry my gun just because my granddaddy taught me that. I respect God. But there's people who don't respect God, but respect guns.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not out to hurt anyone. I'm not out to threaten anyone. But I love life, and God gave me life, and I'll try my best not to let man take away my life.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Listen, we're up against a break here in a minute, but before we do, Jamal, you've had a question, I think, or a comment?
Let's tell that Brent to stop leaning on
us. Yeah, because this is kind of a position that, you know, I just look at the grand scheme of things, and it's not looking at an isolated incident, because if you take it America, according to Christianity Today, you had about roughly 400,000 churches in America. So if you look at the number of shootings, let's say, I'm not sure how many years, whether we're looking at less than 5 in the last few years or 10, is this possibly an overreaction that people have to church shootings? Because it's very, very, very small number. If you're looking at 10 out of 400,000 churches at these shootings. And then on top of that, you're looking at what happened in South Carolina was a clear act of racism. And then additionally, what we have in Texas, there's some domestic issues as the gentleman had a relation to the church with his family. So is this, are people possibly overreacting to what's going on here?
I don't think there's an overreaction. I got one question to that. Do you not protect what you love?
Well,
Jamal doesn't.
No, you can protect what you love, but what I'm getting at to the extent is that if you have a church shooting, the ones that we know of, one is a clearly off-the-wall white supremacist. The other one was a domestic violence issue related to what family and whatnot. If we have 400,000 churches, what I'm saying is that on likely, like, there's the chance of any of those churches being hit. It doesn't seem like it's likely going to happen at all. So think about everybody puts money into security. You're looking at we're going to spend how many millions of dollars for an event that's likely not going to happen at all.
Yeah. If you look at the Word of God, quite often there is a simulation used between man and wife as a marriage. A marriage between a man and woman, between God and his people, between the pastor and his church. Christ died for the church, for the believers. Mm-hmm. Okay? You need to love your wife in that same manner. Pastors treat the church as a wife. So how close do you let the threat get before you put your arm around your wife?
But once again, where is the threat? Like I said, if these shootings are related and they're very specific for specific reasons, and then if you top of that, if you look at especially African American community, I come from Flint, Michigan, mm-hmm. so I know churches Flint, Detroit, Baton Rouge, and Jackson, Tennessee. A lot of churches in these urban areas don't have a lot of resources as to begin with in the inner cities, and you guys probably know some of this in Tampa as well. So if they're expending some of their resources on security and they already have limited resources, and the likelihood of them getting hit at all by a threat is practically zero, is that possibly a waste of money or a tactic that people are using to try to get the black churches specifically to spend their money elsewhere when they could be spending it somewhere else?
Security measures don't necessarily add up to money spent. It's, security barriers is free as awareness is. So, and you saying that the black churches can't afford security? Black churches have been thriving since there's been a black church without resources. And they've been doing it because those God's people takes care of God's church. You'll find a lot of churches in the urban areas don't have grants. They don't get money from the government, but yet they thrive. So what they have need of, the people of God see that the church has it. And we're speaking of the building, but the church is the church. If Greater New Salem met out at the park, we're still Greater New Salem. We still have our awareness about us. We still do the things we need to do to protect the church. So I ask again, how close do you let the threat get before you cover your wife?
But once again, what I'm still getting at is, how is there a threat if the situations which have occurred have been very specifically drawn to specific situations? So I'm not seeing where the threat is, I guess, still.
What specific situation, Jamal, as far as it seemed to me that, you know, these Charleston events, these are random acts against black churches, and a lot right. of it is large churches. But as far as, I don't think even if you have a small church that you should ignore it.
Well, what I'm getting at is, in America, we have a huge sense of trying to protect against things that are inevitable or God's will already. Like, you can't stop terrorism if someone is going to have a very organized plan for years and years to get on planes and fly and crash them. You can't stop a racist shooter if they are able to, whether purchase guns at Walmart because legislation has not changed. What I'm saying is, we as a country, we want to focus on all these safety issues, but we can't. We're trying to stop things that you really can't stop. If somebody wants to do something, they're pretty much going to do it.
But Jamal, don't. After something happens, you have to react and you have to make people feel safe about that.
Yeah, but why are people feeling unsafe? If they want to know statistics and facts, then they should already know the chances, especially when we have evidence of these incidences being linked already to other outside external factors which are specific to those situations.
But Jamal, I want to address that question, that statement that you said. One of the things is that all the stats that you get from FBI and so forth, they're not actually factual. It's a lot of things, statistics that the government wants you to see, but they don't want you to see. For example, I work for an organization that when they hit the population, they need a certain population number. Mm-hmm. They counted all the Hispanics as whites. To show that there were more, they count the whites and the Hispanics as whites, to show that there were more white inmates in jail than black. So what I'm saying, when you're saying that for these instances, what about the instances that are not reported? Security also helps with other things in the church, not just shootouts. Security also helps with the delivering of the money, the delivering of the homeless, the helping feed the homeless with the turkeys. And if there's someone who has a problem or being abused, they come to church, they can get help from there. So security is not just for a shooter. Security has different aspects to the ministry and to helping everyone in the church and the community.
All right. So you're listening to WM. If we're going to take a quick break.
And turn the AC on.
And
a lot of folks up in here.
Turn that Arctic blast on.
And
when we
edges.
Come back, we're going to continue our topic. It's gotten actually very heated now about, are we safe in church? Is it a safe place?
We have a few phone calls.
And we've got a few phone calls. So we're going to get to those phone calls. We're going to get an update, hopefully, from
Facebook Live,
Facebook Dead, Facebook Live. We're going to all of it. So you're listening to The Urban Cafe. We'll see you on the flip side.
Where's cooler?
Rick Scott wants to keep our flowers under lock and key as a recent Florida bill, which passed 70-45 in the House and 24-15 in the Senate, requires women to have a doctor determine whether a fetus can survive outside the womb before having an abortion.
Those that don't have best friends, those typically are more so introverted people, as the ones that says, well, I have 7 best friends. There's nothing wrong with that. Each friend may come from a different part of your life.
As an adult, I think the basis of your relationship is different as you get older. Sometimes work and your life and your kids and everything, it's hard to have the same type of relationship with somebody that you had when you were in high school.
Once you start getting older, you start to cherish your space. I know I do.
Amen.
Everybody can't come into this part of my life, so I can't just throw out and call everyone my best friend.
A best friend is somebody who can single-handedly ruin your life. That's how much they know about you.
Yeah. That's good. I like that.
WMNF 10. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Somebody's gonna say, oh, you guys got a duck in the studio? Like, no.
She is kind of daffy. Welcome back. You listen to WMNF, The Urban Cafe. We've only got a few more minutes talking about safety in church with the pastors. I know they got to go. They've probably got a church they got to go to this morning. So, but we're going to jump right into our phone lines.
Let's go to Facebook Live first and then come back to the phone lines.
I stand corrected.
All right, so.
Oh.
Some Facebook music.
Facebook Live.
Can we make it live? Because that's putting me to sleep.
Oh, good. Jeez, that's Debbie Downer today.
I know. What?
When y'all leave to go to church, can y'all take her with y'all?
Because it's going to blow up.
All right.
Burst into flames. Tell us what's going on over there.
We have a few comments, and they were making these comments at different, you know, times and in intervals of our conversation. So Jeff Haynes is online
Jeff.
And he says that, for the record, prayer was not taken out of schools and couldn't possibly be taken out. All right. So one of the Facebook Live viewers is on here, Naeem. And he was, and I want to go back, even though we don't want to go off on a tangent somewhat than security, but he stated that Christianity was not actually, or the U.S., I should say, was not founded on under Christianity. He spoke to, it was founded under the Muslim law. So I just thought that that might be a good mention. Natasha's online. Hey, Natasha. Miss Songstress McKellar. She said, I wouldn't say God didn't protect the church. God allows things to happen for a reason. Some reason we may not understand. Truthfully, we aren't safe anywhere. People are attacking schools, supermarkets, movie theaters, churches, and homes. That is a great comment.
Great. Yeah, it's great.
And a frightening thought.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go to the phone lines real quick. It's Dylan from Tampa.
Good morning, Dylan.
How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
So what's your... Keep it kind of short, because we don't have much time. So what's your comment or question?
What about that guy, what he did in Texas? He killed everybody.
Your question is, what about the guy in Texas who killed everybody?
Yeah, in church.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Let's try and answer that.
Does anybody want to tackle that, or...
What do you mean? Dylan, that's a very vague question. Is there a particular answer or question you're looking for? You still there, Dylan?
Yeah.
So, what about him? What do you mean, what about him? What about him?
He did what he did, everything wrong that he did.
And so you want to get the guy's thought on what they think about the guy who committed the shooting. Okay, thank you.
Was he even a member of that church?
I don't think he was.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think he was.
Okay.
His ex-in-laws were members.
Right. He was looking for his mother-in-law, right? Yeah.
That's the best.
Oh, there you go. And to your point, Jamal. Jeez, Louise. No, thank you. But there is a definite correlation between sexual harassment, domestic violence, and shootings. There just is.
And that's my point. Not trying to get back into that, but that's my point. I think he was going to do something to try to negatively affect that family, regardless whether it was at church, supermarket, or whatnot, because you had a person who escaped from a mental health institution before and had access to all these different weapons, and he was going to do something to target that particular family. I don't think that the reason that it happened at church, is something, a random event.
But that's not, our point is that if security was there, he couldn't have done it at the churches. It's the pastor's responsibility to set up security for whatever situation comes across.
Is that true, though? Because you got 1, 2, 3, or 4 armed guards, and he comes out with the machine gun and they go on the snap of a finger.
Well, what about the guy with the last shooting? The guy, a citizen, took him down, took the shooter down, right? Ran outside. So that's, that guy had just a long gun.
Well, I'm gonna stand up for Jamal. So the guy went into the church, was PO because he couldn't find the mother-in-law, gets in his car, and he's off looking because his main target was that family. Mm-hmm. But let's get one more phone call in before we have to say goodbye to the pastors and the deacon. Tim from Tampa?
We got Tim from Tampa. Tim.
First time caller.
All right. First time. What's up, Tim?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking me.
Absolutely. So what's your comment or question?
Well, so I've just been listening for about the last 10 minutes. I've really appreciated a lot of the comments and what you have to say. One of the things that I get concerned about is the marriage of American culture and first century Christianity. You look at the letters that are written to the seven churches in Revelation. It talks about the persecution that they're going to go through and tells them that they're going to suffer things and hold on to their faith. Mm-hmm. That was particularly because they were Christians. It wasn't for other issues. So I don't know where the stances are about what we're to do under persecution. I mean, we learn lots of things about turning the other cheek that are not to be taken in isolation out of context. But in the same way, I feel like we come to value our physical lives and our liberties over what Jesus has died for, which is our spiritual lives and our eternity.
Tim, we're real close. That is really... I'm sending that
to
anybody who wants to try it again.
Great question. It is nothing to guess or answer. It's
The letter was written to the churches so that they could remain or restore their hope, knowing that if persecution comes, God is still God. Mm-hmm. And it's when we show our faith in God, we're covered. Because we believe that there's a better place than this. Our tomorrow in heaven is greater than our today on earth. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are awarded here, but in heaven we are rewarded. And I say this also, some people that you think will go to heaven won't be there. But some people who you think that God is not watching will be there. So we have to know God is a God of security. God is a God of power, but God is a God of promise. And everything that he promised, he shall. He shall. That word is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. He shall bring it to completion.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So can I ask one last question before these guys go?
No, you may not.
I got you, because this is an important question that I kind of thought about all night long. When it comes to, and I was trying to